Hey girl, welcome to Christian Girls Pop. My name is Stephanie Bright and I'm the founder of this girls group as well as your host for the podcast. Around here, we are all about purpose, obedience, and prayer. That's what makes us pop. You're guaranteed to laugh, cry, learn, grow, and most importantly, become more like Jesus. We're going to rock this thing out and we're going to have fun doing it. You ready? Let's go. Hey girl, welcome back to another episode of Christian Girls Pop. I have a special episode for you today. Obviously, as you can tell by the title, this is breaking away from our usual weekly episode of me teaching the Bible as we go through our year-long reading plan. And I want to do something a little extra to celebrate. So some of you may know, some of you may not. Hopefully you'll learn a little bit more about me by the end of this podcast episode. But I just celebrated 9 years of being single. Whoop whoop. And so I felt, what better way to celebrate than tell my story and answer some questions that have been sent in on social media. And so I took a poll, just had some people send in some questions, and I have told my story or little bits and pieces of my singleness and the journey and all that here and there, but I was like, I don't know if I've done like an actual just episode with just me, no guest speakers, nothing like that. So let's do something different. I feel like this is a great way to get a little bit more context behind what I say when I'm posting stuff about singleness or encouraging other women in singleness. I feel like obviously the Lord has called me to this season right now. And so because of that, I want to do the best that I can at encouraging others while I'm in that season. And it's not to say that I can't encourage them afterwards, but you know, it hits different when someone who is also single tells you something about singleness versus like, you know, somebody that's been married like 5-10 years and you're like, okay, but you got a man. So, you know, like, and it's not that their advice isn't valid. They normally give really good advice because they've seen both sides of the coin. But sometimes it's just nice to have someone that's in your season dealing with that. And so this is what I want to talk about today, is my story, my journey with singleness. And so we're not going to do any announcements or anything like that. Announcements are on the regular schedule episode that goes out. But for this episode, I just want to get right into it. So first off the bat, before I even tell my story, I want to encourage you that this will not be a, oh my gosh, I know singleness is so hard and I just want to tell you that you're doing a good job. This is not the episode. Sis, let me tell you something. Wipe those tears, get some healing, and remember that there is a season for everything and you can live your best life in this season. If anything, what I'm going to talk about on this episode is how much fun you can have in this season, how amazing this time can be. Is it any better than marriage? No. Is marriage any better than being single? No. Every season has beautiful pros, and then there's also cons with every single season. But I'm not even going to sit here and just talk about all the cons and it's this and it's that. Look, listen to me, Linda, listen. Let me tell you something, girl. This season is bomb, okay? And I want you to live your best life. And I want you to know that this is not have to be I'm just going to wait around for a man. Girl, if you don't, get up, have some fun, learn about yourself, heal, serve, live your best life, okay? If you don't remember nothing about my story, that's fine. I don't care. But I want you to be encouraged in knowing that you can absolutely live your best life. And you're going to have to put some work in for that to happen. Contentment doesn't come easy. Contentment doesn't just come naturally. You're going to have to get some healing. You're going to have to work on some things. But there's beautiful things to appreciate about this season. And that's for any season. So might as well get that healing, get everything you're needing now in this season. So when God gets ready to bless you with that man that you've been praying for, you'll be ready and you'll be healthy and healed. So I just got over being sick, and so my voice sounds kind of crazy, but we're going to get through this episode. So story time. I will try not to bore y'all with too many details, but sometimes y'all, you know, like when I hear people's stories, like I'm here for the details. Like I want all the drama, like I want it all. So anyways, like I said, I've been single for 9 years. So let's travel back 9 years to how we got there. So I had been in a relationship for 1.5 years. This was in high school. And things were going great until they weren't. And I slowly just started getting more red flags of the fact that I realized this was not a healthy relationship. So I've mentioned this before in several parts of like sharing my testimony, stuff like that. But that relationship ended up being emotionally abusive, and he never laid his hands on me, but his words definitely did a lot of manipulation, and even I could go so far to even say like brainwashing, kind of like he basically was able to make me believe that everything was my fault, even when I got cheated on by him the first time. Yes, y'all, I said the first time. I told you it was toxic. The first time I got cheated on, he basically was able to twist these words all around to make me believe that it was my fault in some way. And just that was just one of many instances. He was very controlling, isolation, controlling. You can go through, you can read about any type of like abuse in a relationship of various kinds, and you'll see a lot of things that were on the list that were part of our relationship. And so like I said, I didn't really know at first that it was unhealthy, and you know, the red flags were there, but I was either just too quote unquote in love, or I was just like naive too. Like I really just didn't understand that this was not healthy. And so because of that, and another thing was I wasn't really telling anybody about that side of things, and so because of that, no one was really like calling me out on it. And so I was just kind of like dealing with that on my own. And so there was obviously, with any type of situation like that, good days and bad days, and obviously the good days would outweigh the bad days. So I would just wash it and like push it under the rug basically, and say like, okay, everything's fine. And it wasn't. And so the arguments got longer, they got worse, the like just putting me down got worse. And because of that, like I was struggling with my value, where I wasn't before I got with him. But mind you, over a year and a half, things like just started changing as he's like putting thoughts in my head, and I didn't feel like I was enough for him. And so I was like working out, but not just because I wanted to be healthy and, you know, exercise to like keep my body in shape, but I was working out, trying to do different exercises that I knew would like try to basically make my body look different than it was for him. Like, not because I just wanted to change things about my body, but because I didn't feel like I was enough for him. And it wasn't just like, oh, it's just Steph, like it's because of things that he would say to make me feel that way. And so y'all, it's crazy, like I've never shared this much into the story, so I'm like, oh wow, y'all are getting it all, you know. It's always kind of weird sharing, being super vulnerable, but I hope that this blesses you as you hear my story, and maybe different parts you can relate to from your past or things that you're currently going through. So anyways, so there was just a lot of emotional abuse there, and like I said, I got cheated on the first time, and then through some conversations and basically just me being naive and just thinking that he wouldn't do it again. Let me tell y'all, pause. Let me tell you something right now. If they cheat once, they will cheat again. If they do not have a Holy Spirit transformation, it is in them, and they will do it again. That's, I just feel like I need to help somebody out today. Baby girl, if he's done it once, he will do it again. So dealing with that, and then we got back together, still just really rocky, and like our arguments weren't well, like we didn't argue well, like he would just shut down. And one of the biggest things that was a very key part of like the way my brain was manipulated was how invalidated my feelings became. And so because I felt that way, I didn't share when I was upset about something. I no longer shared when something bothered me or when I was confused as to why he was asking me to do something or asking me to stop doing something. Because I wasn't bringing those things up, I was just shutting down more and more, because it was just like, well, and my brain was receiving it as, you don't matter, your voice doesn't matter, there's no point in sharing it, there's no point in telling him about it, because he's going to not believe you, he's gonna blow you off, so why bother going through this whole thing anyway. And then it also was like, well, you don't want to have a fight that's gonna last 3 days, so like just don't bring it up so y'all can stay on good terms, even though I knew those terms weren't gonna last anyway. And it was just all it was just a revolving cycle. As anyone who's been in that type of relationship, you definitely understand. And so with that, I knew that things were just getting worse, and I was just trying to just hang on and trying to make the best of it, but I was just realizing, like, wow, this is really bad. And then, like, I knew things were starting to get bad when just, like, how, like, even in communicating was just changing. Like, he just wouldn't really want to talk to me that much anymore. And this was now, like, in the summer. And so, you know, in high school, like, it's kind of hard. And, like, we didn't, like, really hang out and stuff. We did some dates here and there, but it wasn't, like, this long, like, just seeing each other all the time. And so, obviously, you have to work on communication more and stuff like that. And I just noticed that he wasn't really wanting to spend time with me, or our phone calls at night would end like super early, and he was just making up all these kind of excuses. And I was just like, I don't like this. And so that summer was pretty rocky, just going back and forth. And so this is what was happening in the physical, but there was also things happening spiritually. Like, this whole time I'm still going to church, like, you know, I'm raised in church, I'm a preacher's kid, still going to church, still going through that routine. And I knew about God, I knew what he could do. I was probably even, I don't know if I was really reading my Bible and stuff, but I was praying and, you know, like, doing stuff here and there. But obviously this relationship was a big hindrance to that, because the whole relationship in itself was drawing me away from Christ and a relationship with him. And I just, you know, like, it just wasn't pleasing to God. And so because of that, I was not really in right standing with God. And so we had a special service. I can't remember how far into the relationship this was, but I would definitely say more on the latter end of it. There was a guy that came and prophesied at our church, and he was like, mind you, there wasn't many young people there, just how the church was set up. And so as he's like going through the altar call and stuff, he's like, there's a young person here who needs to surrender out of that relationship. And I was like, oh gosh, that's me. Like, by then the Lord had already been like showing me. I think by this point I had tried to break it off. This may have been after I got cheated on the first time, I'm not sure. But I knew that basically, no matter what part of the relationship I was in, I knew, like, y'all, this is for me. And so I didn't move, though. I was like, nope, I am not getting out of my pew. For one, my dad did not know I was dating, and so that was basically impossible for me to go up there at that point. And I also was like not about to get out my seat, because even if I was living ratchet, like, I did have a fear of the Lord enough to know that, like, if I go down here and say that I surrender, then I need to get my butt up and go get out of this relationship. And I know I'm not gonna do this, so I just didn't get up. And, like, he kept just praying. He was basically just like, you know, like, this is the Lord speaking to you, like, you need to get out of this. And so I just remember, like, how awful I felt just sitting there in that seat, knowing that that was for me. But I was like, I cannot move. Nope, I'm not getting up. And so basically I was disobedient to God with that. But the Lord was pursuing me. He was really trying to help a sister out, because your girl was struggling. So back to the relationship part of it. Things were just getting worse. And then I just remember just feeling so weak that I couldn't do it myself. Like, I was like, Lord, I cannot get out of this relationship. I've tried. I'm just not capable of doing this in my own strength. I need you to provide a way of escape. And so that was on a Sunday, y'all. That Monday, something happened that ended up allowing me to be able to get out a couple of days later. So it was like, basically the prayer was answered right away. I didn't learn about all of it until a couple of days later, but now that I know the full timeline of things, I was like, wow, God answered my prayer like so quick. He was like, girl, it's about time. I've been trying to help you out. But in all of that, I had never prayed for God to help me. I always was trying to figure it out myself. And so your girl, I got cheated on a second time. Surprise, surprise, right? So that's how I was able to get out of the relationship. And so it's kind of funny, because all my friends were like big mad. Like, they were so mad about what happened. Everybody was so mad. And I was like, y'all, this is the best thing that ever happened, because y'all do not know what was going on the other side of things. And so anyways, I was just rejoicing. Like, obviously the day that I found out was a hot mess. Not gonna get into that full story. I do keep out certain details just for privacy sake and just for confidentiality. This is my story, but I'm not here to dog anybody out. So and there's people that probably are listening who know who I'm talking about. And so I'm like, there's no point in dogging somebody out. This was years ago. I'm fine. Like, whatever. It's fine, you know? But anyways, yes, got cheated on a second time. And I was so thankful because that was my way out. The Lord knew, like, if I could set this up, like, this will be it. Like, she'll have had enough. And I did. And so it was a crazy day, just emotional. It was just a crazy mess. But I wasn't even really heartbroken about it. I think I was just more in shock about everything, but I wasn't heartbroken. Like, I've gotten my heart broken before by somebody completely different. And that was a hot mess compared to, that was like awful. But this was just like, I was relieved. Like, that's what I felt when I got out of that. I was so relieved. And so that was on August 1st, of the day that happened. And then 2 days later, I rededicated my life back to Christ. So actually, August 3rd is going to make 9 years this year of me rededicating my life to Christ. And so it's a good way to keep up with the years, because the same amount of time I've been single is the same amount of time that I've been living for Jesus. So praise the Lord for that. But so that is how I got single, and I was just so grateful. And I'm telling you, like, when I rededicated my life to Christ, I was just so grateful for what he had done, and how he had pursued me and just not given up on me. And that's what I really felt like. Like, I've told him y'all that, like, prodigal son, Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 32, that's like my favorite story in the Bible. And it absolutely is, because I've been the prodigal son. Like, I left, I did my own thing. I realized that I was making terrible choices and it was leading me into just craziness, and I needed to come back to him. And that's exactly what I did. And so, just super grateful for that. And so then my journey began, right? And so there was a lot of healing that took place. Now, I didn't do officially like any type of Christian counseling or just any type of therapy counseling, any type of mental health wellness type things until I got to college. It was my sophomore year of college. But the Lord was just already doing some healing in me. Now that I just didn't have that negativity, he was able to just work on me with some things. He brought healing through people too. Healing came from a variety of different ways. A good portion of it just came from maturing and developing spiritually, now that I was like not distracted and I could just focus on God. And so it's been a journey throughout. And so another thing that I want to discuss, so that's kind of the first part. So that's like how I got single, right? Something else about me that I want to discuss is that I, and probably something people have been wondering, is probably one of your questions as well, but, in the 9 years, like, did I date? Did I talk to anybody else? And so I did talk to one guy in these 9 years. I don't consider it an official relationship because we never went official. But I feel like I do have to mention him as part of the story, just because it's part of the story. And so I won't go too much into that. But basically, I did talk to a guy. It was in college. And red flags from the beginning for me, but I chose to ignore them. Y'all would have thought I would have learned, you know, about red flags, but it had been a while. It had been 2 years of me being single. And so now looking back, 2 years compared to where I am now, I'm like, that was nothing. But 2 years did seem like kind of long back then, because I had always been in a relationship in high school. Like, always had somebody I was dating, somebody I was talking to. And so this was 2 years of me just really not. Like, I think in between the toxic ex and college guy, I think I kind of talked to one guy, but it really wasn't serious, and the Lord shut that down, and I found out some crazy stuff about him later on, and so I'm so glad the Lord shut that down. But besides that, I really wasn't talking to anybody like that. Basically, yeah, red flags from the beginning, still just went with it, and it was just a long year of, even after we only technically, like, quote-unquote talked for, like, a month maybe, but it just led to a lot of chaos and confusion in every way possible. Not even going to get into that story, but because that's just a whole thing. Y'all listen to the red flags and listen to the Holy Spirit when he's talking to you. Please save yourself some trouble. But so yes, I did talk to one guy in college. Don't really consider him a boyfriend, quote unquote, but as much drama as I went through, he might as well have been. But I still just consider 9 years of singleness from the last time I officially had a boyfriend that I, you know, I am your girlfriend, you're my boyfriend, we are dating type situation. So that's a little bit of my story, and that's just how we got to where we are now. And now I wanted to go over some questions, and then I'm going to end with just like a couple words of encouragement, some things that I've been kind of thinking about. But I have some questions here that I want to answer now that you have a little bit of background context of where we are and how I got here. So, all right, first question. Since you've been single for so long, does the thought of dating seem scary? It doesn't seem like scary, but I've learned the beauty of being private about stuff. And like, I like the fact that like guys know that you can't just run up on Stephanie and like get her to go out on a date with you. Like, no, I have shut down many a guy. And it's not to be like, oh yeah, everybody wants me. It's not even like that. It's just like when boys come, if Delore says no, he says no, like the end, like I shut it down. And so, it does seem scary to, I guess, let a guy in to the level of which you normally eventually let a guy in when you're dating, you know, in the sense of just like learning about like, you know, like the deep stuff, like more than just like the average, you know, church friend or something like that. So I think that's the part that is a little bit like, oh gosh, like that's going to be different just because I haven't experienced that in so long. It doesn't push me away from it, but honestly kind of helps me because now I'm not as just like free giving as I used to be of just like, oh yeah, let's hang out. Oh yeah, let's text. Oh yeah, let's do that. I'm like, no. So it doesn't seem scary, but it helps me to, not just let anybody take me out for coffee or anything like that, you know? So yeah, that's probably my answer. Not scary, but it makes me more mindful just because I have enjoyed my singleness. I have enjoyed like just being alone, not lonely, but just like being alone. And so to let somebody back in that space is like, oh, you gotta, God gonna really have to talk to me about you. So that's my answer. Number two, how do you keep your focus on God when there's constantly guys distracting you or your own brain distracting you? Super good question. So the first one I would say, it's not that I just constantly have guys distracting me, and like, let's clarify that. There's not just guys just banging down my door every day trying to take me out on a date. But there are like, I feel like I go through waves of it. Like I'll be fine. Like no one's hitting me up. No one's, you know, guys like they're dormant, I guess. And then all of a sudden, like they come at the woodworks, like three at a time. And they start pursuing me and like, you know, all of my DMs, all in my face. And I'm like, wait, where'd y'all come from? Like what? And up in, like until this point, like God has always shut it down for different guys. And so for me, what I have to do is be mindful to just really guard my heart. And I know that's like the number one thing that's said with single girls, and like I'm not trying to overuse it or wear it out today in this episode, but for me, I have to just like take everything to God. And so anybody that approaches, I'm like, God, yes, no, okay, cool. And just being reminded of different promises that God has spoken over my life. And that's regarding a future relationship, but also just like what God has spoken over just things that he wants to accomplish in my life. And sometimes it's just very evident when that's not going to work with someone else. And so it's like for me to just stay focused on what God has for me and what God has already spoken over me, that helps me to stay focused so I'm not distracted by just any guys that give me attention. And let's be real, like I feel like I don't talk about this side much of singleness, but when you're single and you're trying to live for God and you're trying to be pleasing to God and guys give you attention, like it's natural to be like, oh, like this is nice, like I like how this feels. And a lot of times, especially when you're really living for God, like you don't get like the disrespectful guys that's like, hey, little blue shirt, come over here, shawty. You know, like you're not getting that. You're getting guys that are like, hey, I've been praying and I want to pursue you. And I'm like, what? Hold up. What? Like you can't come at me like that. Like my heart was not guarded. Boo boo. Like, boy, you about to have me in my feelings and I don't need to be in my feelings. You know, like I'm just keeping it real. There's days when a guy may approach me and I'm like, I'm considering this. And I'm like, ooh, I should. And then the Lord's like, don't. And I'm like, wait, but he said, nah. He's like, no. And I'm like, oh, okay. So for me, it's just, I have to bring everything before God. And so what I try to do it is as quickly as possible. Do I do it well every time? No, I have accountability partners. So really bring everything before God immediately, because girls, I know us girls, we will have a wedding day planned in our head just because he said, "Steph, I like your dress." And or he's like, "Steph, you look nice today." And I'm like, "Marry me." You know, like I'm already like planning out our baby names, you know? And it's like, "Okay, let's chill." So if I bring it before God, God kind of helps me. He doesn't dismiss my feelings. He doesn't invalidate them. He gives me space to process it. And then he'll kind of be like, "Okay, but no, but I'm glad you told me about it," you know? And so it helps me to just guard my heart quicker. And for the second part, how do I keep my focus on God when my own brain is distracting me? It's kind of the same thing, like really, really seeking God, because you can get caught up in it. You know, you can get caught up in just the weddingness of it all and just fantasizing about how your life's going to be with them, how you're going to have 2.5 kids and a horse and a dog and live on a farm, you know, all this stuff, right? But it's good to really just get that focus back. And kind of like come back to reality, if that makes sense. And I feel like I can go on and on for that, but I'm going to just keep it there for now. Okay, question number 3. Do you feel pressure about dating? Honestly, no. I've really, really gotten to a place of contentment. It was not always this way. I can't emphasize that enough. It was not always this way. Like, now I don't really think much about me being single. The Lord has done a big work on that, but I don't really feel pressured because the people around me aren't really pressuring me. My parents don't. Now, granted, my mom definitely asked me, "When am I giving her grandkids?" just yesterday, but that's not the point. Oh, like literally yesterday she asked me, she's like, "When am I gonna get grandkids?" I said, "What?" She said, "Girl, I'm gonna go find you a man." I said, "Let's not." But my mom, for the most part, is joking. There's a little bit of seriousness in there, but that's okay. But for the most part, she does understand that, like, this is the season God has me in right now, so we cannot rush that. But my dad doesn't bring it up, really. If anything, he probably just, like, don't want me to be, you know, dads be like, "I don't want my baby girl." I'll be like, "Sir, I am grown." But anyways, that's not the point. No, I don't really feel pressured about dating. My friends, I have quite a few friends that are like in my close circle that are also single. And so it's like, we're all just kind of chilling together. We see the beauty in it. I love being able to just like call my best friend and we can just like, "Hey, you want to go here now?" Sure. Now, granted, I have responsibilities like with my family and stuff like that. But as a whole, there's, you know, I can pop up and go quicker. Question number 4, what are your parents' decisions or thought about this current situation? I basically just answered that, but yeah, they're chilling. My dad, we've talked about it, and he's just like, "Hey, when God brings a guy that's for you, then it'll be great." But, you know, like that's about it. And my mom, kind of the same, like I said, she really wants grandkids. She's like stuck on that, but and I'm like, "Girl, if I get married, I'm not giving you no kids right away, like, so you might as well sit down somewhere." But besides that, I don't have my parents like down my throat about it, like, which is really good, because I know certain people are not in that situation and they feel like they have to find a guy soon because their family's like asking or whatever. I feel like everybody secretly is just like waiting for me, like, who's she gonna date? Because people will bring it up here and there, like, "Hey, like, so no man yet," or, you know, stuff like that. I blow it off because I'm good, like, I'm content. I laugh honestly when people try to hook me up with people or try to just like, I can see them like glancing at my hand and see, like, "You ain't got no ring yet, like, girl, what you doing?" But then everybody's just like, "Okay, like, we trust what God is doing and we trust the process and whoever he brings, blah, blah, blah." And so I'm like, "Thanks. I appreciate that." I do get the people here time to time that will be like, "Why are you single?" And I'm like, "Why not?" You know, like, nobody asks people like, "Why are you married?" You know? And I get it. Some people are just really nice. They're trying to do it as like a compliment of like, "Wow, you're such a great woman, like, you should have a man." I'm like, "Thanks, but don't ask a question like that," you know, like. But besides that, no, my parents are cool. I don't really feel pressure. We chilling. My parents understand that I have a lot of responsibility that keeps me really busy in general, just like with ministry stuff. And so they're not just like, "Girl, why are you just sitting around?" You know, so yeah. Question number 5, what would be your advice to someone that feels like a relationship is a distraction? in and of itself, relationships do require time. They do require energy. They do require effort, consistency, communication, servanthood, all the great things, right? And so because of that, you do have to be more mindful of your time management, be more mindful of your lifestyle in general and just all the things that come with that because you are in a relationship. And that's something that you have to decide when you're ready for. And with that, you have to just understand that things will be different. Things will change in your life after being single. But that doesn't mean it's a bad thing. That doesn't mean that it's not something that you should ever strive for. If you feel like you don't need to be distracted in a certain season, if God is working on you, he's working on your healing, he's developing things, visions, dreams, all that in you, then sure, if you don't want to be quote unquote distracted by a relationship, then by all means, like, you have that choice to make. But I just don't want it to be an unhealthy view of relationships to where you never want to be in one because it's going to be a distraction. If God is calling you to date someone and he's bringing y'all together, then it will require your time, it will require your effort and consistency and such and communication and stuff, but that doesn't mean that it will be a bad thing. You just have to be mindful of it, because if, say, God, like, okay, I'll use myself as an example, right? I'm in full-time ministry that requires a lot of hours in the week of creating things that God is working on and putting some things together each week. And so I would have to be mindful of that as I date. So if I were to date somebody in this season, like, I would have to be mindful of, like, okay, what hours am I going to work so that I will have time to talk to him and to have hangouts and date nights and stuff like that. And so that would be an adjustment of my schedule. So I would see it as more of an adjustment versus a distraction. If you feel that you just really can't focus on what God has for you because of being in a relationship, then that may be something that you would need to pray about and consider, just like looking at your life and seeing what areas need to be adjusted and changed so that you can be able to do both. And also just be mindful that any relationship that is pleasing to God should not draw you away, like, won't draw you away from him. You will be drawn closer to God and the things of God as you grow in their relationship. So hope that answers a question there. All right, we are nearing the end, just a couple questions left. All right, question number 6, what advice will you give to someone trying or struggling to keep focus? I guess this question is, like, related to keeping focus on being single and being in a season of singleness versus, like, talking to guys and dating, if that's not what God wants for you right now. I would add that I would go along with what I said earlier about just really focusing on seeking God, and not just seeking him, but also asking what you can be doing in this season. Because that's one of my pet peeves is when people are just like, oh, I'm just waiting on a man. Like, girl, do you know there's more to life than a man? Like, I know that we talk about marriage and we idolize it and we see so many people having it and they got their boo thing and they're going on vacations and y'all just like, I'm missing out. That is a beautiful side of life. That is a beautiful thing. Hopefully you will get to experience it. But there's so many beautiful things that you can experience in your single life. Do you know how much fun it is to have a girls' night at your house with your close friends, PJs, all the food, put some movies on, dance parties? Do you know how fun it is to be able to just, like, go to the movies at 11 at night with your friends just because, like, you're single and you can? Do you know how much fun it is to go on vacations? I've went on vacations with my friends and we've had so much fun. I did a week in Puerto Rico. We went to Austin. I have a couple trips at the end of this year. Like, there is beautiful things that you can do in singleness, and it doesn't have to require a man. And there's also beautiful ways that you can just see yourself grow. You can learn more about God, learn how to serve in this season. If you're single, babysit for those who are married and have a bunch of kids and they're trying to have a date night. Serve at your church, find a place to get involved. Work on yourself, pick up your hobbies. This is that time to do those things. And it's not to just fill this void, quote unquote, like, just, oh, I'm just doing stuff to pass the time. Like, this is not busy work. This is stuff that is actually beneficial. It actually will help you. It helps you grow. It helps you to enjoy life right now. And you get to just live it up. And so that is one way that will really help with keeping that focus, is not just quote unquote waiting, but doing stuff in this season, just living the best single season. Another big thing is just stop comparing yourself to everyone else. Social media, we already know social media is a big one. You feel like you just have to be in a relationship because everybody you see is in a relationship. Stop following those people. If you're just like scrolling on random couples pages just because you're just like, I just want a man, that's not healthy. If you got to take a break from social media for a while so that you can enjoy reality and not get so caught up in comparing yourself, do that. Do whatever you have to do in order to really enjoy this season. And then last but not least, why are you single? By choice or due to some other reason? I guess the answer is some other reason. because the Lord has kept me single. That's the reason. the answer is both. And I'm going to tell you why. So it's by choice because I have been approached, pursued, all that, and I have turned guys down. So that was by choice because I could have chosen to be in relationship with them. It would not have been God's will because the Lord had already told me no, but it would have still been my choice. So the other side of things is the answer is yes. For some other reason, it's because God has me in this singleness season now, and so that's the reason. God will write the love story. God will do all the things. But in the meantime, I am single and I'm enjoying it. And this is not me just like faking it. No, like I really am. And so that was the last question, but I do want to just be real with you for the last couple minutes of this episode. First thing is I want to tell you that not every day is like this, basically, where I'm just content and I'm fine and I'm chilling. I've had frustrating days. I've had the moments when I've just been all in my feelings, and then I realized that it wasn't from God, and so now I have to like get out of my feelings, basically. Like, I've had the times, especially earlier on in my single days, where I was just obsessed with it, like, of having a relationship and just wondering when that time would come. And I just remember, like, walking into rooms. I would walk into a room and just look around at the different guys and just be like, okay, who's cute? Who's gonna be my man? Like, God, which one is it? And he's like, none of them, girl, go sit down. And I'm like, wait, what are you talking about? Like, I've had the moments when I was just obsessed with it. I was dressing to impress any, like, not any guy in specific, but I was like dressing to impress a guy, not just dressing up because I wanted to. Like, I've had those moments. Like, in these 9 years, I've walked through it all. I am human and I have desire just like anyone else, and so I've had to fight that off. And as some of y'all already know my story anyway, of just dealing with sexual sin in the past, and so I've had to navigate through all of that, and that's a whole nother episode that we could do. But I just really wanted to let you know that, like, y'all, I'm human, I get it. Just because I have a bunch of years behind this doesn't mean that every day is just peaches and cream. And I just, you know, most days I really enjoy it. But there are days when it's just hard. And it's not because, and it's just naturally because of emotions and just, I don't know, like just how life goes. And so with all of that, though, I really do enjoy this season, and I really want to pour out as much as I can while God has me in this season to others, whether older or younger than me, that are in that same position. And maybe you are getting more pressure from your family to find a man. Maybe you are getting more pressure just from social media to have someone. I know the holidays are going to be coming up soon, and maybe it's going to be your first one without a man. And maybe now all your family's going to be asking about you. Maybe, you know, it's your first, or maybe you've always been single and you're struggling with your worth and like, why doesn't anyone want to talk to me? Why doesn't anyone, why don't I have these stories of when I've dated because no one wants to date me? Like, there's a lot of different nuances about singleness, and a lot of it comes down to the past experiences, the past circumstances that we've lived in and that we've gone through, and all of that plays a part. And so I just want to encourage you to get to the point to where you are content. When you get to a space of contentment, things change. I wasn't always there. I was, like I said, just kind of obsessed with it for a while, but now it's not really a thought that goes through my head, and it's not just just because I'm just so busy or I just have so much to do, but it's because I have been content with where God has me, knowing that God can write and God can change anything in any second. And in all of that, I have learned that there's so much that I can do in this season. There's so much beauty in this, and I'm not going to wait for the next season to enjoy it. I'm not going to wait for the next season to have that joy. I can have all of that now because my contentment is found in God. My hope is in Him. My trust is in Him. I know that He's the one that can fix it. And so because of that, I just trust Him 100%. Go with that. And I've just learned God is all I need. Anything else in my life is a bonus. Anything else, friends, relationships, jobs, whatever it is, anything else in my life that God has put in my life is a bonus. And I've gotten to that place through time with Him, through spending time in His Word, getting to know Him, getting to know my Savior. That has put me in a place of contentment. And so I just wanted to share that to end this episode. I hope that you were encouraged. And if you have any other questions about anything I said or didn't say, maybe you had a question that I didn't answer, make sure to send that in. You can send it in to christiangirlspop@gmail.com. You also can you can send me messages on social media, on Facebook or Instagram at christiangirlspop. And I'd love to chat with you and, you know, try to help you out and get some questions answered for you. I hope you learn a little bit more about me, about my journey, about how I made it to 9 years, and we'll see what the Lord does in the future. But yeah, I want you to know that you're not alone, that there are so many others that are in the same situation, and, I got you. We in this together, girl. We got this. And, I just wanted you to know that you have so much potential in this season. Don't wait for the next one. The grass is always greener wherever you water it. So if you're looking at the other side of the fence where marriage is, thinking that it's going to be so much better over there, and that season will come with its own tests and trials. So might as well enjoy this one and just water the grass on this side and live your best life, sis. So thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode. If you haven't already, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Christian Girls Pop. You can find us on YouTube at Christian Girls Pop, and you can check out our website, christiangirlspop.com. If you like to donate to this ministry, you can donate on Venmo at Christian Girls Pop, on Cash App at $ Christian Girls Pop, and on PayPal using the email address cgpopdonate@gmail.com. You also can donate through our website as well. Thanks so much for tuning in. Single girl, remember this. Jesus already loves you so much. You are already so loved. Don't you ever forget that.